That was pretty fancy.
Yeah.
We might need to talk about how that works afterwards, because that sounds amazing.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to the Guardian Hub podcast, where we talk Destiny and our experiences in the game. We like to spotlight different guests and communities and our place to talk about uplifting experiences that we have had. I'm Kingsley Mack, and with me, as normal, we have Sin this lovely evening. How are you doing, Sin?
Pretty darn good. I got off work today, early day. Oh, yeah. All my days for the rest of the week are late, up late. But I picked up a Astro C40 controller on the way home. So while you all are talking tonight, I'm going to be playing some video games.
Have you set it up yet?
I have set it up, but I haven't played with it yet.
All right, we'll talk later, if not on this show. We'll see what you feel about it.
But with us tonight, we do have a very special guest, a mixer, Twitch streamer, podcaster, and all around awesome dude, Rock City Roller. Rock, how are you tonight?
You give me way too much credit. You're building up expectations that I can't keep.
Hey, I like to build them up, and then we can break them down later.
There you go. No, I'm doing.
I love the intro.
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here. Opportunity to talk about Destiny.
That's us every night. Always talking about it.
We're a little too addicted to the game, right?
I know those feelings. I unfortunately don't have a fancy new controller, though. I can't use controllers. It's a bad thing.
Do you play? Let's just start there. Where do you play on PC?
After a couple thousand hours of Destiny 1 on Xbox, I have not touched Xbox or Destiny on an Xbox since it came out on PC. Mm-hmm. Other than, you know, a charity stream here and there to play with friends or if I lose a bet or something like that. But yeah, I am 100% on PC, mouse and keyboard. It's how I grew up playing games. So mashing a game that I'm extremely passionate about with something that I'm more comfortable on has just kind of been like the best of both worlds. And it's weird because now, like when I try to use a controller for shooters, I don't know if it's a grip thing or what, but I get terrible hand cramps. So it has let me play even more Destiny than I could before.
Oh, that's excellent. You know, what you say has some validity that I want to bring into my own persona. Like, I have these excuses. I'm a little bit older, and I feel like I've been trying to learn M&K. And when I was younger, I played computer games with mouse and keyboard, but then I got into console gaming forever. And Sin and I play on PS4 and PC, by the way. Mm-hmm. But when I'm on PC, I use a controller. I've tried doing mouse and keyboard. I feel like, especially in my left hand, I just don't have the dexterity as I've gotten older to use some of my fingers. But I don't want to like use that too much of an excuse. I do want to try. It's certainly possible I could learn it.
So one of the things that helped me was paying attention to the type of mouse you're using. So I use a Logitech G602. It's a wireless mouse from Logitech, but it's got six buttons on the side. And what that's let me do is kind of, because I'm same way, like my fingers aren't as nimble as they used to be when I was younger, but the six buttons on the side allow me to offload some of my left finger control to my thumb on my mouse. So I have crouch, melee, super, and grenade all on mouse buttons. And then my class ability is actually on my middle mouse click. So really all of my left hand does is movement, reload, sprint, and jump. So it pretty much keeps one finger dedicated to each of those. And it's made it a lot easier to kind of stay comfortable on PC without getting into the struggles of trying to stretch fingers down to control or find keys when you're not looking at them.
Yeah.
Now I have a very important question.
Yes, sir.
Mouse and keyboard. Mm-hmm. Pointer finger. Do you keep it on D or F?
Pointer by pointer finger stays on D. And I did have to put my finger on the keyboard.
We've had this discussion before.
I know.
Sin wants to do F.
Yeah.
I could see that, but I just, especially in Destiny, you're going to use D more than F, especially if you've got everything mapped over to the mouse, you know?
Right. I think it's just because of typing that's always gotten me caught up in keeping that. And if I had a really good gaming keyboard, I've seen the ones they have like these grips they look like on ASD and W, which would give a little more feeling to where your pointer and your fingers are at for placement. I always default to that little nub on F just from doing it for so many years of typing, and it's been hard to break that habit when actually using MNK.
Yeah. I'm a bit of my other addiction other than Destiny is keyboards. So my first keyboard was a Corsair K70. And that had those grips. And at first I'm like, oh yeah, I'm putting the special keys on W, A, S, and D so I can find them. And then I found out that they ended up being a little bit more of a hindrance than a help because they sat up a little bit higher. So as your finger was sliding across, you'd catch that key and accidentally hit the wrong one or something like that. But yeah, no, it's definitely a muscle memory thing. So when I found out that Destiny was coming out on PC, I started playing more PC games. So I jumped into PUBG. That was the year PUBG kind of first hit the scene on Steam. And I played a ton of that, which helped my like mouse aim and my fingers, you know, finding themselves on the keys again. But then when I jumped into Destiny, it was like a completely different experience because it was obviously much more of a twitchy type of shooter. Like I needed to move quick and have quick reactions. But I mean, I'm closing in on 1,000 or 1,100 hours on PC Destiny. So, I mean,
and you're almost there, huh?
No, almost
that's
got
worried
it.
About like, it'll take me 2 years to get used to it.
No. And I would say like after maybe 100 hours or something like that, which is still a lot, but as Destiny players, it's probably not a lot.
Yeah, true.
I felt, you know, you can start to feel the comfort level. And then once you start doing things, you know, just by pure muscle memory on mouse and keyboard, like your brain starts to realize, okay, I can do this. And it becomes almost second nature to the point where last week I jumped on console because I lost a bet with some other streamer friends. And they had a charity event. And I said, if you guys hit your goal, I'll come over and I'll raid on PC or on Xbox One with you. And they hit their goal. So I picked up a controller and it was really tough to go back to. And it's like the muscle memory was still there on what buttons to hit, but being able to like aim and like do multiple things at once was a lot more difficult switching back to the different input devices.
Yeah.
Right. And what controller did you say it was again?
An Xbox One.
No. The I'm sorry, not controller, mouse, the Logitech.
Oh, the mouse? It's the Logitech G602. And actually, since it's Prime Day, this probably won't help your listeners because they won't hear it on Prime Day. But it's on sale for $25.
I was just looking at that,
which is a smoking deal.
While you were talking, and I said, "Huh, that is." It's normally $80, but right now for $25. Yeah.
I actually liked it so much, I bought one for work. So the buttons on the side are great, and then there's like a wing that comes off the left hand side of the mouse that your thumb rests on. So as you're moving across your mouse pad, you're not dragging your thumb across. Nice. And it's a small design choice that makes a lot of comfort.
Yeah, I'm going to look into getting some of those. That's really the only... I'm just finalizing my PC build now. I have been playing on PC the last 6 months through kind of a Frankenstein build. And just recently, I got a new motherboard, processor, a couple things. The only thing I haven't really upgraded yet is keyboard and mouse because I still just enjoy plugging my controller in.
Yeah.
But now I can get this and really be ready to rock and roll. Boy, that cross save announcement, wasn't that amazing? I mean, you're probably just going to stay on PC, I assume. But for us that have progression one place or the other, that was the other reason I didn't want to switch to PC because I didn't do it on day one. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to regrind all this stuff because I have a lot of titles and stuff. And now I don't have to.
Yeah, I was really hoping for like a cross play announcement, selfishly, because like being a streamer and content creator, like I want to be able to play with my communities, and I do have good amounts of my community that are on Xbox. But cross save's like the next best thing, right? Because everybody that says, hey, I want to come play on PC with you, but, you know, I have Whisper on Xbox, I have Outbreak Prime, I've got Thorn, I've got Last
Titles,
Word.
Like Wayfarer, yeah, that takes forever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, like I've got Riven's Bane or something like that. I don't want to grind all that back out. Now it's like, okay, just wait till September. And to your point, like, you've been playing on a Frankenstein PC, like, that's, I don't think people realize, if you haven't played it on PC, but Destiny 2 on PC is an absolute masterpiece. It runs very, very well on a variety of systems, and it's balanced really well with keyboard versus a controller. Like, controller on PC feels great because it feels exactly like it does on your console with your aim assist and everything like that. Except it's crispier because you get the 60 frames or higher frame rate. They did such a fantastic job on PC, and I think that's a testament to their passion of the game. But it's something that I think I wish more people could experience, because it is a wonderful game on PC.
Yeah, we've had a bunch of friends that switched within 3 to 6 months ago, and I started considering dabbling in it too. And I have, on my PS4, I have a pretty good setup. So like when I go to my PC, I do miss a couple things because I don't have HDR or 4K yet. But the main thing that I miss then when I go back to PS4 is the field of view. Even the frames, I can take it or leave it. But yeah, the field of view, holy moly.
Yes, that has a night and day difference.
Yeah, I've done demonstrations on my stream before where, like, I'll walk up to a door, right, and the field of view on console is like somewhere around 60, and I play it like 105 field of view, and I'll show stream, like, I'll close it down to 60 and I'll walk up to a door, so like the door is like centered in the screen, and then I'll go into settings real quick and I'll up it to 105, and how much more of the screen like you can actually see is absolutely insane. And I agree, like, the one thing I noticed most when I went back to console was I felt like confined, like I couldn't see anything, and I felt like I was moving slower. Like, the frame rate didn't bother me much, but the field of view is killer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly how I feel. I mean, yeah, frame rate obviously is crispier, but
yeah,
I can survive, but the field of view can be limiting once you're... Now, I feel like, you know, playing on PS4 for so many years, I've gotten used to it, but then you go to PC, and then it's funny, I was playing with a previous guest on the show when we were playing a raid, and Clear Knight, and he was mentioning a very good point, like, we were doing the raid of Last Wish over on PC, and then we went over to PS4, we're like, we're not seeing, like, all the symbols around the room as easily, because the field of view, like, oh, we missed that one, you know?
I remember the first Switch was during the first Leviathan, and, like, I had the game on Xbox prior, because it was like, what, a month after it came out, before it came out on PC. So I had gotten a Hunter up to 300 and done the raid a bunch of times on console before it dropped on PC. And the first thing I noticed is when we, the spooky slide section of Kalus, you can shoot your Scions and see the symbol on his forehead at the same time very easily on PC, because the field of view is so much wider, that it made it a lot easier to do that section and be able to call out symbols while you're shooting your Scions.
No, I guess that means the PS4 players just have to be better to
just
get
gotta,
it done.
Just gotta get good.
That's my thought.
Or we actually are better because we have more handicaps? No, just kidding.
I mean, come on over to PC and we can settle that.
I'm still bringing the controller, though.
We love it all. The only platform I don't play on is Xbox, and I would even consider it now with this cross save if I can find like a cheap Xbox on sale one day, just so I have friends to play with there too.
It's even made like Stadia something that I want to consider, because I mean, we're finishing our basement, so I'm going to need a Fire TV for the basement anyways, and if you get the Founders Edition, it comes with a Fire TV. But like, you'll get, you know, 3 months of Pro, which means you can play Shadowkeep. And it'd be cool to kind of test out that tech and see what 4K 60 looks like, you know, without having to invest in, you know, $1,000 PC.
Yeah.
Or more.
Yeah, or more. I mean, you're talking to a guy that's between two pretty powerful PCs. But even still, like, I don't run 4K. Like, I've set my stuff up on the era of high frame rates. So I play generally at 1080p, but usually between 120, 140 frames per second. And nice. It's wonderful.
Yeah. So you stream, obviously. You've been talking about that, and that's one of the reasons we have you on the show this week as a lovely guest. I want to ask a little bit about that, just so the lovely listeners can know more about you. You stream on Twitch. You stream on Mixer. Tell us a little bit about that. I saw you kind of have a schedule. Do you follow that?
So
up your Twitch page here.
Yeah. So I've dialed my schedule back a little bit to help kind of some of the outside content creation that I do. But yeah, I've been streaming for almost 2 years now. I started on Twitch. And then I moved over to Mixer for about a year. We built a pretty sizable community over there. We met some friends, and we started the One of Us community. And I think we're a little over like 2,500 members in that community now. But I realized in probably like the last couple of months, especially with the release of Season of Opulence, the announcements of Shadowkeep, and how much fun I'm having with the game, that's what I want to do. Is like I want to make Destiny 2 content. Like, this is a game that I've been passionate about for what's it been, like 5 years now almost.
Like day one player and all that.
Yeah, so my buddy borrowed somebody's PS4 so that we could play the alpha of D1, and then obviously played in the beta, and then it was day one on Xbox One on Destiny 1. Played all through, you know, Taken King, Rise of Iron, all that. And then I was day one on Destiny 2 on Xbox, and then day one on Destiny 2 on PC. But it's just, I don't know what it is. Like, it's something between, you know, the gunplay, you know, the grind loop for gear, and the friends that I've made that, like, there's really, like, I have a hard time finding other games that I want to play as much as I want to play Destiny. You know, even in year one of Destiny 2, like I loved playing Destiny. So I was one of the few people that was still playing that on a daily basis. But the audience for Destiny content, especially on PC, there's a little bit more of it on Twitch than there is on Mixer. Mixer is focusing on different sets of games, and there's a bunch of really great creators over there that are doing awesome things with Fortnite and Siege and Paladins and Realm Royale, but I want to focus on Destiny content, and it seemed like the best place to do that was Twitch. So last week I moved myself back over, and I stream Monday through Thursdays on Twitch. Obviously, we canceled stream tonight so that we can do this. But usually between 7:30 and 8:30 Eastern, I'm live, and I'll stream for a couple hours and do all kinds of stuff. Whatever. Right now we're grinding triumphs and tributes and all that good stuff. But yeah.
You're actually hosting one of our friends right now, Elmer Fudd Games. He's been a previous guest on our podcast. But yeah, everyone definitely go to Rock City Rollers Twitch page. So you say it's the Destiny. I mean, obviously we know you like Destiny. That's kind of what your main jam is right now. I get what you were saying, but was there times in Destiny 1 where you ever kind of like stepped away for longer than, let's say, days or weeks, or were you always kind of there?
So I bounced off of Destiny 1 hard in vanilla. And so I got it day one, grinded my face off. We did the raid. I think within the first week we cleared Vault of Glass. And then I was like, all right, I don't get this anymore. I'm done. This kind of seems boring. And I stepped away for probably about a month. And then right as Dark Below was releasing, I found a website called the100.io. And what this website was is it took your kind of gaming profile, like what times you played, like what type of, you know, whether you were hardcore, casual, whatever. And it put you in a group with 100 other like-minded guardians. And so I jumped into a random one of those. And I was like, okay, well, these guys schedule raids. Like, I know what I'm doing, like, when I sign on. Because I have limited game time. Like, I don't have time to spend my limited amount of time playing video games, you know, LFGing and trying to organize raids. So this was great. I could set stuff up. And when I got on, I was able to hit the ground running. And I started like raiding hardcore and like helping people from our clan get through Crota. We used to just hold checkpoints at Crota hard mode and just get people their Glohu back when, you know, hard mode Crota was actually difficult. And like that was all of a sudden I started making friends and I started playing like with people a lot more often. And like that's when it clicked. And then I think from there on, I don't think I really have jumped off for more than maybe like a month or so. But yeah, usually I try like at the end of each season, I'll take like a week off and play something else just to give myself a break before we go, you know, balls to the wall for the new season.
And what do you find yourself doing when, like, obviously you like to raid, we like to raid. Do you kind of do that when there's downtime? Because there's always fun to have you on raids. Are you more of a PvP player? You're just grinding for stuff or kind of a mixture of it all? What's kind of your style?
I really am like the person that kind of absorbs everything that Destiny has to offer. You know, I play PvP. I enjoy trying to get better. You know, this season I've been trying to get, you know, work through comp and get one of the pinnacle weapons for Moments of Triumph. You know, I played a lot of Gambit a couple of seasons ago. I still play a bunch of that. We raid, I mean, really do everything. Pretty much whatever anybody's looking to do. You know, if someone comes into chat and says, hey, I need help with a whisper quest, we'll drop off and we'll go help somebody with a whisper quest or, you know, anything like that. But when it gets slow, I try to find something that I haven't grinded out yet. And I'll just focus on that for, you know, a week or two and then, you know, move on to the next thing. So, you know, the season, you know, season of the forges, we kind of got through the forges pretty quickly, got everything we wanted. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to spend the rest of the season grinding out Dredgen. And so we got a team together. We played a bunch of Gambit and we grinded out Dredgen in, you know, 3 weeks. So it's there's the state that Destiny's in now, like there's so much to do that you can always find something to go after or something to do.
Plenty of titles. Really,
yeah.
The titles, yeah.
Do you Dredgen's have
still the only one Dredgen? That I've got?
Oh. Man, I'm fortunate enough right now that I got two. I got Wayfarer, which took forever with the Osprey grind. And then I also got Dredgen. I was fairly close a few months back and just did the grind for the last reset. But I wouldn't mind getting the new one, the
Shadow.
Moments of Triumph.
Yeah.
Those are the two that I'm kind of chasing right now. It's like I want the Shadow title because I think that's really cool.
Shadow would be nice to have too.
Yeah. Which is weird because obviously I really wanted Dredgen and I really wanted Shadow. So I guess whenever that split comes, when we get to decide whether we want to be Dark Guardians or not, I guess I'm kind of leaning on the dark side. But yeah, no, Shadow seems cool. And then obviously the Moments of Triumph really intrigues me just because it's going to be one of those things that you can only have it if you were there, you know? So the people that were there this season, you know, and doing everything will have that title. And everybody that joins, you know, in September for free to play isn't going to have an opportunity to get that one. And that's kind of cool to me. Like it's kind of a badge of honor.
Exclusive, so to speak. Basically.
Yeah.
Exclusive.
And I've been wearing my Cursebreaker title for a while, but I might want to put Wayfarer back on because I'm seeing more people with Cursebreaker. So
I forgot. I also have Cursebreaker.
Wow. Fancy. Yeah, I just...
It's not fancy. You just play the game a lot, right?
I guess like the RNG portions of those ones are what turned me off from them. Like Dredgen felt very attainable, like so that I could control it. You know, other than obviously the meatball and, you know, getting the ship from that. But it's like I've done, I don't know, 35 Last Wish raids. I still don't have 1K voices. I don't have any of the raid exotics.
Oh, man. Yeah,
that's
all painful.
Yeah, I won't tell you my RNG for 1K.
Yeah, I'm sure.
First time, every time.
Yeah. Well, there's some things like that, like the Corrupted Strike. I've run that as a Nightfall twice. I've gotten the Pulse Rifle both times. The first time I got a regular old Pulse Rifle, and then the second time I got the Curated Roll. And I have friends that like grind that nonstop every time it comes up because they want Cursebreaker and they haven't gotten hit the drop yet.
Yeah, RNG has not been on my side for the rare stuff from like Wayfarer, the Osprey Chase. That was annoying. I have been lucky. I did get 1K my first run on Last Wish. I got Anarchy my second run on Scourge. But outside of that, the other weapons have always been a pain in the rear end for me to get.
Yeah, it's weird the things that drop you. Like exotics, it seems like I had really good luck with those. But like year one when Antiope was like the gun, I think I was like 275 gunsmith packages in before I got an Antiope. But then we had a counter on stream for a while to count how many Graviton forfeits I got, because like in a course of a week, I would get like 13 or 14 Graviton forfeits. And it was like almost every day, like an exotic would drop and it'd be a Graviton. it was ridiculous. But then like with Menagerie, like we were, you know, farming the chest quote unquote bug. And, you know, I've rolled probably 60 Beloveds and I've never gotten a snapshot quick draw.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to talk about next. Yeah, now that we have random rolls in the game and Menagerie, boy, it's a great activity. It was a great opportunity to go for some of these random rolls, like you said. And other people also have done like 60 drops of a gun and maybe still not gotten the perfect roll. So why not let us keep it how it was?
I don't know, man.
I heard of one situation where I guess it was considered broken, where you could farm something with, like, if you have the thing that comes back into your inventory. But
yeah,
I forget what that was. But
there was, so there's, you can get drops of the Dreaming City, the Reverie Dawn gear, with a single rune. So if you have the chalice upgrade that refunds one rune, it'll refund that rune, the same rune, if you put a single one in. So what people were doing was just putting in like the one for, you know, the chest piece.
Yeah.
And they would farm for enhanced perks. But even still, like the drop rate of enhanced perks and getting the exact roll that you want on that armor, like, is it really an issue? I don't know.
No. Yeah. I mean, I'm just barely, and I haven't hopped in Menagerie since, because we've been busy with raiding some other things recently, but I was having fun finally grinding for a perfect Erentil roll that I wanted, and I didn't quite get there, but I got a pretty good one. I have one with signal scope, projection fuse, moving target, and it has range masterwork, and it's pretty toasty, but still, like, that was with doing a bunch of Erentils and stuff, and I wouldn't even probably wanted to try. I feel less wanting to go in Menagerie now, knowing, like, well, I only get one now, so is it even worth starting? You know what I mean? There's kind of a psychology element there. It's like, do you even want to put in the effort if you know it's going to be a hard effort?
Well, it was like, just having those pulls at the slot machine felt good. You know, even if you did roll 7 Beloveds and they all had, like, Air Assault and Demolitionist on them or something stupid like that, and you were like, okay. And then I would get one that had like Snapshot Moving Target. I'm like, that's good, but it's not snap draw. So I'd go back in and I'd roll 7 more Beloveds. Whereas now that I know that like that 10 or 15 minutes is only going to get me one shot at that, I'm like, you know, maybe that Snapshot Moving Target one isn't that bad.
Yeah, it's good enough. Exactly.
It's good enough.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like I'm locked onto this Erentil now because I'm probably, it's good enough, but like I could have gone better. But like, yeah, it's such a good point.
Yeah. And it's funny because earlier today, I didn't even think that we were going to talk about this, but I put a tweet out with a poll and I said, I asked the Destiny players that saw it, how many times have you run the Menagerie since the chest was patched? And as of right now, let's look, it's got 49 votes. 55% of people said they haven't run it since the chest was patched. So that's 25 out of those 49 people haven't touched it. And then another 43% said they've run it between 1 and 5 times since the chest was patched. And that's, what, almost 2 weeks now? It's just,
I mean, to be fair, there's been a couple other things with these exotic quests that, and
yeah,
we're finally hopping in the raid more, but is a very valid point. I don't feel as excited. I used to kind of like hop into it like at least a couple times at the end of, even if I was just playing solo, because you could match make, and I'm like, okay, I'll hop in a couple runs before I log off for the night.
Oh, yeah. It was great, if I had like 20 minutes at the end of stream. Like, we finished a raid. I've got like a half an hour of stream left. Like, what do we want to do that we don't want to get too involved? let's hop in the menagerie and grind some beloveds and grind some Ostringers. And then now it's just like, I don't know. I don't know if I really want to do that.
I had a Twitter poll.
Yeah, so did I.
It's now at 56% have not run it.
Yeah. I feel like there could have been a compromise. Like, and I understand that it was bugged, like, then that was not the intended design. But I think the fact that we had it that way for so long and the community responded so favorably to that, I think they needed to figure out something better than just turning it off. Because one of my biggest compliments about this season was that Menagerie solved a lot of problems that Destiny players had with fundamental systems of the game, right? So it let you pick your gear and it let you pick your powerful drops. So like if you were grinding, you know, for power level and you say you got 5 grenade launchers in a row, but you really just needed, you know, gloves to get up to 750, you can go into Menagerie, set up your chalice for gloves, get your 750 gloves, right? And it's that RNG protection. Then it also, like you said about random rolls, like it brought back essentially re-rolling. Like we haven't had re-rolling in the game since what, year 1, year 2 of Destiny 1? And it gave us a creative way to re-roll weapons. And at getting 5 or 6 per menagerie run, it felt good. And now like all of that has just kind of been taken away. Without any sort of middle ground, it felt bad.
Yeah, I think a chest limit per encounter or a chest limit per run probably would have solved that issue. It would have been the best of both worlds.
I think one of the best solutions I saw was MTash said you should get one for completing the activity, right? So you get one for completing the menagerie, and then you get one additional chest for each section that you complete flawlessly. Right. So there's flawless conditions where you complete them without running out of time. Mm-hmm. Like if you do that and do them without running out of time, like you should get another chest. And like that, I think felt the best for me, because at least then the players still have to do something to earn those additional chests. But if you've got a group that wants to farm for Ostringers, get them in there. And it's not that hard for a group of people at 750 to run through that thing flawlessly. You know, and get four drops and get out and do it again. But yeah, just not having any sort of compromise or middle ground just didn't sit right with me.
Yeah, even keeping it the way it was, if they could have figured out to maybe close some of those loopholes or whatever.
Yeah.
Probably most of the people would have been happy with that also.
Yeah.
Well, we're still having fun in the game. I assume yeah. You are also. Isn't Moments of Triumph pretty cool? The Tribute Hall and the Bad Juju?
I love it.
It's expensive.
It's expensive. Yeah. We went into it. I went into it first night and bought to get Bad Juju because I heard about the quest and I had a blast with that mission. And
yeah,
I needed to get it done right away.
And Kings drug me in there too. And it's just like, take all my money. Just take it.
They finally figured out a way to bleed the hardcore player to their currencies before a DLC drop.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I've pretty much bought all the tributes. I have a few more to buy. I just been taking my time on a few at the end. I still have 1,600 legendary shards, so I'm fine.
Yeah. I dropped down pretty low on legendary shards, but I got those done. The Bright Dust is where I'm struggling with because I still like to buy my pretty things, so I don't want to spend all of that quite yet. But I'm definitely dismantling a lot more shaders and ghost shells that I have sitting in my vault or whatnot.
Yeah, now's the time to definitely do that because you can get that Bright Dust back.
Yeah. Well, that was the nice thing is like when they had made the changes, announced the changes to Eververse, I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to dump all this stuff that I don't really use as is and give myself a nice pile of Bright Dust so I could buy some stuff. And then this tributes come out and they're like, hey, remember all that Bright Dust you stacked up? See ya. Now I'm poor again.
That's one way to do it.
Yeah. But I think that's another like example that they're listening to the community and they're finding creative solutions to things that we're asking for, because once you get the tributes in there, it's pretty much a firing range. Like it's a testing ground for, you know, damage and stuff. I had somebody up on stream yesterday that was just sitting in there testing different weapons and different builds and different loadouts to see, you know, how they would do the most damage and take down different enemies. And Like, it's such a cool way to do it.
It is pretty darn cool. And then being able to use the crystals and
yeah,
just kind of how everything plays out in there. I think it's visually pleasing also, just kind of how you can see, okay, these are the enemies you've dealt with, the people yeah. you've dealt with. And
it's your trophy room.
Yeah, it really is nice.
Yeah. It'd be cool if like they meld that into like some sort of, not necessarily player housing, but like some sort of an area that you can grow like with your conquests and kind of go and it grows with you over the years and over the seasons to show, hey, these are the things that I got involved with in my time during Destiny 2. And these are the things that, you know, these are my trophies that I have to show for it, and just have it progressively grow like as the seasons go. I think that'd be really cool.
Well, Sin, I'm happy I got my and it's not that hard of a mission, but I got my flawless solo run done in the Bad Juju mission.
Oh, I have not attempted it.
You know, it's, you can kind of cheat with Warlock. Well,
yeah,
cheap. That's anything in PvE right now.
Cheap.
Hey, you still have to pay attention a little bit, but
yeah, you still got to click. Well, and on PS4, you have to hit two buttons, right, to pop your super. So that's that's hard.
I feel like it's one, you're right. It is technically R1 and R2, but.
Yeah.
I know, you just get so used to it. You feel like it's one big finger movement, even though it's technically two.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I could see. I could see how that could be tough to just, you know, drop your well and win.
So that, what does that mean? You're a Titan or Hunter?
I've been a Hunter main for as long as anybody can remember.
I love Hunters. That's my second favorite character.
Yeah, I started with a Hunter. I've always had all three characters, but definitely Hunter has always been my favorite. And actually, it wasn't until this season that I got all three characters up to max level, just because I love this raid so much. I just wanted more opportunities to run it. So I finally ran my Titan through the Forsaken story a couple weeks ago. Actually, when everybody was at Guardian Con, that's what I did. Is I ran my Titan through the story, got him up to 750, and now I can raid three times a week.
Nice.
Ooh. Love to talk quickly about the new raid. So you like that new raid? I like it a lot also.
Oh, I love it.
We haven't technically got a completion yet, but we're very close. So we'd love to hear some tips from you.
Technicality.
Yeah.
We've gotten to the end.
I feel like I could do encounter. It, but like some of the people in our group would die a lot. So
Kingsley just doesn't invite me to the shenanigans.
It's very mechanics heavy. And I think it feels different than a lot of the other raids, because a lot of the other raids just try to overwhelm you with adds, and this one really doesn't. I mean, if you're not paying attention and you get out of your rotations, then yeah, some adds could overwhelm you. But it really just is very punishing for mechanics, but not so punishing that like, oh, well, it takes me too many shots to kill these Thrall and they're going to overrun me. As far as tips, man, I don't know. Well, play with the same people over and over again.
You're right. And I know we'll get it soon. I feel like for me, I'll probably find a group within the next week or two to get a completion on it. On the last phase, I know sometimes there's slightly different strats, whether if people kind of like run together and do the same thing on all three sides, or if they split off into different like crystal groups and ogre groups.
We've always split off in teams of two throughout that whole raid. And just keep the same teams of two throughout the whole raid, because then you get used to kind of hearing this, listening to the same person's voice for call outs.
Yeah, yeah. And then do you do it where like the teams of two do all responsibilities like for phase two for the boss
for their side? Yeah,
yeah. All responsibilities for their side. Okay.
Yeah.
And then so what's go ahead.
It does make it a little hectic on person's side, but like I said, if you've spent the whole raid listening to the same person's voice and kind of triggering for their call outs, you kind of get into your own zones sometimes.
I do. Yeah. And I was noticing that with who I was playing with.
Like I have a buddy Sweets, and like the first probably four or five times that we ran it, him and I were on a team, and it got to the point where like the last section, like we didn't even, like we hardly communicated. Like you would hear switch, and we'd go to the crystal and switch.
You go to the crystal at the same time. Yeah. You don't hardly have to say anything.
And you'd hear, all right, big guy spawning, and we'd run up there, punch him. And then like that was all the comms that was happening, because once you realize that the blessed person and the non-blessed person start on opposite sides, depending on which enemies spawn where, and then you just zigzag back and forth. That's all it is, right? So if you're on acolyte duty, because you're not blessed, you might start on the left side and then you go to the right side because acolytes will spawn over there, and it's just a dance. And once you realize that, like, it's really kind of easy, like, to get into that motion. But it is one of those raids where, like, if you get out of sync, right, and the blessing, somebody loses a blessing or something like that, like, you can get in trouble really quick.
But I love the play space. I love how it looks. I like the mechanics, even though it is, you have to do them pretty much perfectly. I don't feel like they're complex. There's not a lot really when it comes down to it, which is kind of cool.
It feels like a very attainable raid. And I think, like, when I hear people say, hey, we haven't gotten a completion yet, like, the one thing I will say is it's one of those raids where all of a sudden it clicks, right? Where you spend like four or five times where you might not even get to damage phase, or you might barely get to damage phase. And then all of a sudden you get a run that's just clean and quick, and it just clicks for everybody, and you just breeze through it. Like, it's not one of those ramp up where, like, okay, we don't have enough damage type of deals. It's just, okay, we messed up the mechanics. And I like that as difficulty much better than, okay, you didn't level enough, or you didn't get enough good drops. You mathematically cannot complete this encounter. And this raid never really felt like that.
Yeah. Well, Sin, we're going to get a completion soon, I'm sure. And,
man, I wish y'all were on PC. We'd get you one easy.
Well, you know, I mean, my PC account, that's the thing. Until September, my PC account's only hovering at about 700 right now, so I can't get into this raid. But
I'll tell you what, if you guys haven't gotten a completion by September, hit me up.
Oh, yeah, we will. Well, I'm sure
that completion for the triumph.
Yeah, and we'll play with you come September, because then I'll have all my good stuff, you know, over on PC.
Yeah, no, and that's, like, I'm excited. Like, anybody that wants to play on PC in September, I'm always down to share Destiny experiences with more people. And same thing, anybody that wants to, like, jump into PC come September and needs help putting together a PC, I'm always down to help with that too.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people say they'll try PC when it comes out of September, but I know Sin and I actually will, because we already have a PC. We're just we haven't been playing there a lot because of our history on PS4.
Yeah. And that makes sense. I've always said, like, play where you've got people to play with, because I think that's more important for Destiny, is, like, having friends to play with. But I also know there's, like, a lot of misconceptions when it comes to building PCs and, like, what you need to be able to play video games and this and that. And so I like to try to help when people are interested to get them builds that are on their budget and that it'll do what they need them to do. And not, I mean, if you're just trying to play 1080p 60, you don't need a 1080 Ti and, you know, $1,000 processor.
Nope. I already had a Radeon 580 and, and then I just got a Ryzen 5 2600 recently, because those prices dropped down to $120.
Yeah.
That's pretty good for that processor. So,
yeah. My stream PC has a pretty beefy CPU in it. I've got a 2700X in my stream PC.
Yeah, you want more for that, right?
But the GPU is just a 570, which I think I paid $100 for, and it'll run Destiny at 1080p 60 on highest settings. So, like, you don't need to spend an arm and a leg to get into PC gaming. But I know you talk to some people that are like, oh, well, I don't have $2,000 to spend. I'm like, you're spending $2,000 on a PC, you're getting something pretty serious.
Yeah, no, that is true. Very true.
I won't tell you what I spent on mine originally when I built it.
I won't tell you what I spent on mine either.
I did a lot of research. I think I all said and done, I think it was about 800, not including the monitor. So
yeah.
Yeah. And I just have a 40 monitor, so I'm good enough with that, you know.
Yeah, in reality, like, if you're on a budget, like, you can grab a $10 mouse and keyboard combo, like, and it'll work, right? It might not be the greatest, but if you're gonna play on a controller anyways, like, what does it matter? And I mean, you can plug it into a TV. Like, GPUs have HDMI outputs, you know, so you don't have to jump into a monitor right away. Windows 10 can be run unactivated. You just have, like, a small water stamp in the bottom. So, like there's definitely like ways to get
save some money
into PC gaming on a pretty good budget.
No, you know all those things too. That's great.
Yep. And honestly, with the new processors and GPUs that were announced this week, I think it's only going to start getting more competitive and prices are going to go
up. Oh, yeah. Where those came down.
Yeah.
I know I need to look at some more deals. I need to spend some more money. Or actually, I don't.
Let me know if you need help. I always love spending other people's money.
Hey, there is a, speaking of Prime Day, by the time the listeners get this, it'll be over. But there is a...
Does it matter, Sin?
It won't matter. But for the second...
The deals you missed.
Yeah, to make you feel bad.
Actually, this isn't on Prime. It's on Newegg. I was looking at a Corsair carbide case, and it's on sale for $54.99 with a $15 mail-in rebate. Nice. So I was looking at this case, I think, for my next build. If I decide to go through with it, I would start there.
Case deals are how I ended up with two PCs.
Yeah.
I went to upgrade my stream PC when I bought the 2700X. And obviously with the new processor, like I needed RAM and a motherboard and this and that. And I'm like, you know what? If I just bought a case and a power supply, like I could have two fully working PCs. So here we are. I was like, this case is on sale for $35. Well, I guess we're getting a second PC.
It's all downhill from there.
Oh yeah, it's bad. Now this year we had to put central air in because the office gets so hot because there's two PCs creating heat in here.
Oh yeah,
that's my excuse. I'm sticking to it.
Hey, so you also have a podcast that you do called The One of Us.
Yeah,
or One of Us
Community Podcast. Yep.
OOU Compod.
That's right. Yeah, this was so I've podcasted a lot over the years. I had a couple of podcasts. Few years back with friends for just like general gaming type of stuff, like we would just kind of get together and shoot the shit about the news. But as I started to get more into the content creation, like I said, like our community started to blow up, I was like, I wanted to figure out a way for me to give back to my community for all the support that they give me through, you know, streaming and my YouTube and Instagram and everything like that. And I thought, I was driving to work one day and it clicked. I'm like, well, what if I just grabbed a person from the community every week, like somebody that's active in the community. We see them in the streams. We see them in the Discord. You know, they're always helping people out, being a friendly face, and like give them a platform to tell their story, you know, or if they're a content creator, like tell their story of how they got into gaming, how they got into content creation. So I started doing that and the community loved it. Like they thought it was a great idea. I started with the stream team and we run about an hour show and we spend the first half hour talking about how we got into gaming, how we got into content creation, and then let that conversation go like wherever it is. And then the second half I open up to, I let our Discord server ask whatever questions they want. And then we try to come up with answers for them and obviously let that conversation go wherever, because I think like a lot of times in especially like streaming communities, we have these like really brief interactions in stream chat that are great because we can talk back and forth, but you never get time to share like these more elaborate stories and really share, you know, who you are and where you come from, because it is such a quick moving chat a lot of times. So this kind of gives people the opportunity to come on and share their story and introduce themselves to the community. But it's been a ton of fun to do.
Oh, that's excellent. In a way, it sounds similar. Like we like to have on community guests also. And yeah. I kind of wanted to start this as a way to obviously talk Destiny because I love talking Destiny, but I want to have a way where just like can bring anyone on, like, other Destiny podcasters, other streamers, yeah. Other even we want to get like just artists on, just anyone in the community mm-hmm. that kind of wants to talk about what they do.
It's so related cool. To Destiny. Like everybody you meet has some fascinating stories. And it's cool to hear those. But then like from the podcaster standpoint, like it's cool to find new and creative ways to get that information out of them, you know, like. Sometimes you don't know what exactly to ask them for them to break into this amazing story about like how they met Bob Dylan and now they're like, or like on like a first name basis with Bob Dylan. But you stumble into those through like other types of things, and it's incredible. Like, it's such a cool medium to make connections with people. And, you know, these, a lot of these people are ones that I've had hours and hours of conversation with, and I consider them very good friends. But I go through a podcast episode with them, I realize, wow, I don't know anything about you.
Now, didn't you have a lady on your show that really met Bob Dylan? Or she,
yeah, no, that was a true story. So there's a lady named Dawn in our community, and she showed up one day. She's been super supportive. She's been a great friend. She's a hilarious person. But yeah, like, her and her daughter go to like every Bob Dylan concert they possibly can. And they started like basically traveling around the country, like going to Bob Dylan shows, and they've met him. And like, now like they're on like a first name basis. And whenever they need Bob Dylan tickets, they get a hold of Bob Dylan and get tickets. Like, it's insane. But you would never know these stories, like, unless you are able to have the time to have those conversations with people.
Yeah. It's nice to be able to build that up with the community. Especially, you have a fairly large size community, so it's great to be able to hear those stories. And I've been trying to keep up with your podcast as well as some other ones with my long commute. So yeah. I have a lot of time that I can, and I listen on 1.5 times because I want to try to get through as much content as I can. But I've been listening. I think you also, I remember that story, and I remember you also had somebody else, I think, on more recently that kept set lists or playlists from a concert she went to as well.
Yeah, Kim, she has that's her hobby, is going to concerts. And she collects all the set lists. And so she had a list of set lists that she had been to. And like, that was, I mean, I had no idea that's what she did. You know, I've spent hours talking to her on streams and stuff like that. But yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I just love podcasting. I don't know what it is about the medium, but like, even like the mini pod, like every once in a while I'll do like I call them a mini pod, where I'll just like give tips on content creation, or, you know, discuss a specific topic in like the content creation world, and just kind of give my thoughts. And like, I get so energized by doing those, because it's just like, here's a way for me to kind of get all of these thoughts out into the ether. You know, all the things that I think about throughout the day, and give me kind of like a creative outlet almost. And I enjoy it as much, if not more, than actually streaming video games. That's why when you guys asked if I would be on the podcast, I couldn't jump fast enough. Cause it was like, seriously, it was like podcasting and talking about Destiny. Like, what else do I need?
Sold. I'm in.
Oh, yeah. And there's a lot of good Destiny podcasters out there. We even keep a list of all the different Destiny, somewhat Destiny-based podcasts, whether they talk about it a lot or a little. And we have a great community of all the Destiny podcast hosts that we collaborate with. And mm-hmm. I just think the community is awesome. Yeah, whether you're a streamer or a podcaster, whatever you do both, obviously. It's nice that we can team up together and talk together. And don't have to like just have our little separate corner where we're never the two should meet, you know?
Yeah, no. And when I first was trying to find, you know, an idea for a show, for a podcast, like, obviously Destiny was the first thing that came to mind, because I know a lot about Destiny. I can talk rather intelligently about Destiny, but like you said, I mean, there's a lot of Destiny podcasts out there, and I know that, even though I stream a lot of Destiny, like, my community is not built around Destiny. Like, it's not a Destiny community. So I wanted to do something that would kind of give some extra entertainment back to my community for, you know, just showing up and saying hi and chatting and hosting and, you know, whatever, you know, if it comes to charity. I mean, I think we did like $6,000 for Extra Life last year, on a whim, and like that type of stuff. Just, is the reason I do all of this. And so being able to give them something back, you know, for free, just feels good.
Yeah. Charity streams, all the money that's been raised for St. Jude this year. It's been amazing.
I know. Yeah. I was part of the, Mixer had, so Mixer had an official Guardian Con charity stream this year, with K Magic and a bunch of, partnered streamers. And then another partner on Mixer, Magic Unicorn, created an unofficial Mixer Guardian Con stream, and I was a part of that, and we raised just over $10,000 on that for St. Jude's. Then you look at the Twitch one. Nice. I mean, they were over $4 million this year. It's absolutely insane what kind of good gaming can do.
Yeah, this is just amazing. I mean, if you would have asked me 4 years ago when I just started playing Destiny, I was just a single player video game player. And Destiny was my first multiplayer game. And thanks to podcasts, listening to podcasts, I started finding Destiny communities and found this whole world of just people that, you know, we got the charities, we got the playing together with awesome people. It's such a great community.
It's crazy to think that back when we first started playing Destiny, I had never watched a live stream before. And now I am a live streamer. I don't think I started watching Twitch until Trials came out.
Yeah, I didn't know what Twitch was until Destiny. Yeah. Honestly.
But
it happens, and
it's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the game's been such a big part of my life, you know? Like the game has seen me get married, buy a house, and have a kid. You know,
wow, that's a lot.
Like, that's how long we've been playing Destiny, and sometimes you forget about that. But came out what, 2014, so it's been almost 5 years now.
Yeah, wow,
it's wild. Yeah, and the myriad of friends that I've met along the way. I mean, from like the 100 group to the Twitch communities that I've been involved with, to, you know, I think when I joined the Discord for Dad Tales podcast, and obviously that spun off to, you know, a lot of the people that we hang out with now. And it's like, there's so many people that have come into my life and I've gotten to know and gotten to be friends with through this one game. I think that's why it's like, it's always been hard for me to put down.
Well, I have a bonus conversation, but anything else you want to talk about Destiny before we move on to that?
You better move on, otherwise I'll just talk Destiny all night.
I have a perfect question for you.
Yes, Sin, go ahead.
Toilet paper, under or over?
Oh, that's a lame bonus question, but go ahead.
No, he knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I listen.
Sorry, I should know. I thought you were just coming up on something on the fly.
This specifically has to do with his community.
Yeah. So this was a standard question that we asked everybody on our podcast to judge whether they were allowed to stay in the community or not. And obviously hanging the toilet paper has got to go over the roll, because otherwise you're just, I don't even know what to call you. If you hang it under the roll, it's just, I don't know if we could communicate anymore.
Do you feel like some people would just like troll and say under the roll, or they're actually like, I'm 100%. Seriously under the roll person?
No, once my community figured out that like they knew that it was supposed to be over the roll, everybody answered under the roll just to get a rise out of me. And I threatened to kick people off the stream team. I'm like, that's it.
I love it.
We gotta cancel this podcast now. You're off the team.
That's probably what I would have done.
Another bonus question from the OOUcom pod.
Oh no.
Since unfrosted Pop-Tarts is not happening, your favorite frosted Pop-Tart?
Frosted brown sugar cinnamon is like my all-time favorite Pop-Tart.
Yum.
Nice. But yeah, you'd be surprised how many people eat unfrosted Pop-Tarts. I forget
that exists.
Yeah. I've started to question like humanity.
Unfrosted blueberry was unique, but it's a no for me, dog.
Yeah. Big yikes.
Well, we need to come up with some more interesting questions, and we've just kind of started this, but in the meantime, now you can expand to your favorite dessert if you want, but let's start with, what's your favorite ice cream?
It's got to be cookie dough.
Ooh, yes.
I mean, chocolate chip cookie dough is like, it's like where it's at. Unless it's in milkshake form, then I've got to go strawberry.
Mm. And do you like it kind of like smooth or with like chunks of strawberries? I know it sounds silly, but you know, there's different ways. Like, do you like it thicker or thinner?
I like a thicker strawberry, or like a thicker milkshake.
Excellent.
But the problem is now I'm a dad. And if I'm getting a milkshake, I have to share it with a little 2-year-old with grabby hands. So it's been a while since I've been able to just sit down and just enjoy a milkshake by myself.
Just do it while you're at work or while you're working. And yeah. Then that way you can lock yourself in your...
True.
If you work at home, you lock yourself in your room. If you're at the office, just take it in with you and just enjoy it.
But to be honest, like a lot of times what we'll do is like we'll make our own milkshakes. Like we'll just get a gallon of ice cream. And then after he goes to bed, like I'll just make milkshakes. And then I get to enjoy it. My wife gets to enjoy it. We get to sit down and watch a show and relax and have a milkshake. But yeah, milkshakes got to be like strawberry. Every once in a while, a chocolate's good, but strawberry milkshakes are where it's at.
So have you ever tried that ice cream? I can't remember the make, but they have like different flavors and they call them something weird. But the one
like Ben and Jerry's?
Yes, Cherry Garcia.
Yeah, I'm not a huge cherry ice cream fan. My wife likes that one, though.
It was good. I found it one time at Walmart in a chocolate-covered bar form.
Oh, wow.
That was good.
I live in upstate New York. So Vermont, which is where Ben and Jerry's is, isn't too far away. It's probably about a 5 or 6 hour drive, but we used to go up there to go skiing all the time. We'd go skiing up in Vermont, and we'd just stop at Ben and Jerry's on the way back. And you can get it like super fresh from there, and it's really good.
I might have to go to somewhere that's still open this time of night and find a milkshake now.
Right, that's kind of what I was thinking too.
And I don't know if you guys have heard of Tillamook from Oregon. That's kind of like where we would go.
It's a lot longer than a 6 hour drive for me.
Yeah, that's a no for me.
You can get in the grocery stores now too. That's what I meant. But like, yeah, that's kind of like the local one for us.
Ice cream is wonderful, man. I love it.
Yeah, man.
That question's dangerous. I really do need to like go get ice cream now. It's just like going to the gas station and getting like a Chipwich like that. That would be suffice right now.
Well, we better let you do that. But we've loved having you on. Anything else before we kind of start wrapping it up for this lovely evening here?
No, I don't think you. Thank you guys for having me on, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I always love podcasting, and honestly, like as a podcaster, it's an honor to be asked to be on somebody else's podcast, because that means you guys think that I have some level of quality, which obviously I've duped you long enough that I was able to get on.
Hey, we enjoy it.
Oh man, it's been excellent talking to you. It's been a great natural conversation. Wow. I'm sure our listeners, when we hear this episode, will just love everything about you. And listeners, please follow this lovely guest, Rock City Roller. Go ahead and tell us all your contact info, and we'll definitely have it in our show notes also.
Rock, you can find me. Plug yourself.
You can find me on Twitch, Instagram, and Facebook at Rock City Roller, YouTube at Rock City Roller TV, and Twitter at Rock City Roller 1.
Excellent. Again, it's an absolute pleasure.
And where can you find the podcast?
Oh, that's probably a good one to plug too, huh?
Yes.
Podcast is at anchor.fm/OOUcompod. If you can't remember that, though, you can go to rockcityroller.com, and there is a page for the podcast that has all the episodes right there.
Again, it's called One of Us, so definitely check that out, everyone.
Yeah.
Well, great. Sin, we don't have any reviews this week, so as always, listeners, if you have a review for us, please leave it on iTunes, and we will read those out. And again, as we mentioned in our last episode, we just recently started our Guardian Hub Destiny clan, so feel free and join that on PlayStation, Xbox, or PC. We are growing that as we speak. It's been a great community. But enough of that. We just want you to follow Rock City Roller. And again, his info will be in the show notes. And just so we can go out with a flash, Sin, where can people find you?
You can find me on twitch.tv/SinMedia. Sin is C-Y-N. Or Twitter, Sin_Media. Kingsley, ooh. Does your milkshake bring all the boys to the yard?
They do. If you follow me on Twitch as Kingsley Mac, on PlayStation and PC is Kingsley Mac, and on Twitter, I am MC Kingsley.
Sub to Quint Kingsley for free milkshakes.
Yeah. There you go, right? I mean, I love, just a real funny point, I love ice cream, but I'm slightly lactose intolerant, so I don't eat it too often.
I will not tolerate that. Eat more ice cream.
Yeah. I will not tolerate your intolerance to ice cream.
I feel like my question is because I'm craving it. And no.
Well, okay, so now I'm going to flip the script on you real quick before we go. If you don't eat ice cream too often, what is your go-to dessert?
Oh, excellent question. I love carrot cakes, brownies, cookies. Chocolate chip cookies is probably like my favorite dessert. Yeah.
Tiramisu.
I start reading off all these interesting things, but then I was like, you know, I'm just going to have to go with chocolate chip cookies.
I mean, it's the classic, right? It feels like home.
And I'll eat ice cream just a little bit. You can take a lactate pill, no big deal. You can have like coconut milk ice cream is actually pretty good. So.
Oh, yeah, I bet that would actually be pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to do coconut milk. You don't need to do like the other weird ones, but coconut milk actually is good. But
I didn't mean to derail your outro.
No, this is great. Screw our outro. Everyone knows where to find us.
You're welcome, listeners. Bonus podcast.
Exactly. Just find us at the Guardian Hub. That's right. But anyways, if you already listened to this, you know how to find us. So there you go.
We're the best hub on the net.
Yeah. Sin likes that. Throw that in every once in a while.
The tagline.
Well, it's been a pleasure. Yeah, I love the conversation we've had. Yeah, we
absolutely.
Let's just talk dessert. We don't need to have Destiny and dessert. That'll be our next podcast. D&D Destiny dessert.
There you go. You did it.
Roll the dice. And again, what anytime flavor you guys... are you eating now?
Yeah,
I rolled a 12.
So I expect us to have at least a quarterly show, right? Between you and us, we'll have the Destiny and dessert podcast.
I'm gonna go ahead and say now that I'm in. Just give me a date. have your people call my people and we'll put it on the calendar.
Sounds good.
We actually do have a calendar.
So do I. You have to, right? But planning only goes so far. Like, I think I told you guys this story before we started recording, but Friday, when like 4 hours before I was supposed to record, my guest canceled on me and I had to scramble to put together a podcast in 4 hours, and we ended up pulling it off. At least I hope so. It released an hour and a half ago, so we'll see what people say. But it's gotta stay organized.
Yep, gotta stay organized, and always thankful for people that can fill in last minute or people that do stay scheduled with you. Thankful for anyone that can come on, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, Rock City Roller, again, I can't thank you enough. Thank you so much for being on the show, and we'll hope to talk to you again in the future if you will, be willing.
I thought we were already past the official outro stage.
Oh, we're gonna have this go on all night, Sin.
I'm gonna see how long I can drag this out.
You just remember that I'm the one that edits, so I can edit it off where I feel like it.
Yeah. None of this is making the cut.
Yeah. You can add this in or not add it in, and we'll say, but thank you, listeners, and have a wonderful night.
Yeah, you can find me in the club.
You better keep this all in, Sin.